Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 24, which is where we left off last week. Ephesians 4, 24. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it is only because you gave yourself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to the Father that we are here this morning. And we love you. And we know that you love us. Lord, this morning we ask that you would help us to understand your word. This morning we ask that it wouldn't just be understood with our heads, but it would be received in our hearts and that we would live by it. Lord, help us to be imitators of you. Help us to see more of who you are and desire to be like you more and more and more. Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you for bearing that piece of wood on your back, taking the nails in your hands, and dying in our place. We love you, Lord. It's because we know that you love us. We pray these things in your name. Amen. One of our highest callings as Christians is to be imitators of God. Just about every morning, I am trying to develop a habit of doing push-ups, sit-ups, and pull-ups. And it is not because I am a naturally healthy and fit person and because I love doing exercise, because the fact is I don't. It is because I actually have another job, and that is with the Army Reserve. And if I don't stay in shape, they will fire me. So part of my job is to do push-ups, sit-ups, and a two-mile run twice a year, and every two times a year I get graded on it. And so please pray for me, because coming up in May, I will be graded on that again. And it's not been very easy being sick so much this winter, but the Lord has been good to me, and here I am standing on my own two feet. Thank you, Lord. So I am trying to develop this habit of doing push-ups, sit-ups, and pull-ups every morning, and trying to do some additional workouts of that. But every morning, this is what I'm trying to do. And I am not exactly sure why, but my boys, my three sons, they find it irresistible whenever they see me on the ground pushing like this or doing sit-ups, they want to come and jump on me. If I'm on my hands and feet pushing up, they want to jump on my back and see how hard they can. Let's see you do three boys on top of your back, Daddy. Can you do it? No. Oh man, that's hard. Sit-ups. Oh yeah, you're feeling the burn in your stomach, and all of a sudden, bah! You know, you got this 40-pound weight on your stomach, and I don't know why they love doing that, but they do. Every time they see me do it, they love jumping on me. And after they've done their dirty deed, they will actually, then they will go and they will try to do some of their own. They'll try to do some push-ups, try to do some sit-ups on their own. And I love seeing it, you know, because it's like, your form is horrible, but thank you for trying. And hopefully someday they're going to be, you know, perfect for, you know, for the military, if they want to, that is. But anyway, after they've done their dirty deed by jumping on me, they will go and they will do push-ups and sit-ups on their own. The other day, Logan was sitting next to me as I was doing some sit-ups, and he just started laughing at me. Bless his soul. And then he started to try to do some sit-ups of his own. He was, you know, kind of rocking back and forth. Some of you guys saw this yesterday, actually. when we were over here taking a break from spreading mulch, he was doing that. My boys, when they jump on me, is just pure fun. When they do push-ups and sit-ups, that is imitating me. I am humbled that they want to imitate me. And note to parents, your children are going to imitate you, whatever you do, whether good or bad. Maybe it'll take some time for them to get around to the good, I don't know. But they will imitate you. You have a huge influence on them. God's children imitate him. We find it irresistible. Why? Because we love him. We see how he treats us. We see how he loves us. And we want to be like that too. This morning I want to implore you, just like Paul does, be an imitator of God. Be an imitator of God. That's our main point for this morning. Be an imitator of God. It comes right out of chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And I want to say this, he is worthy of it. He is worthy of our imitating him. All of these commands that we've just read, verse 25 through verse 32, will really just mean nothing to you if you're not seeking to be an imitator of God. We could talk all day about what's good to do and what's bad to do. And if we're not careful, we might read what Paul says here in this book, in this letter to the Ephesians, and we might think that he's just doing that. He's just telling us what we need to stop doing because it's bad, and what we need to start doing because it's good. But friends, if we do that, then we're just totally missing the point. Why? Because Paul's point here is that as beloved children of God, we have the privilege and the joy of imitating him. Paul says, be imitators of God as beloved children. I want you to see how this is, what we've just read is just a continuation of last week. We saw in last week, starting in verse 20, he says, but that's not the way you learned Christ. So how did you learn Christ? He said, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To do what? To put off the old self. Just like you're taking off some old dirty clothes that you've been spreading mulch in all day, and you put them off and you put them in the hamper and you clean them, you get rid of them, and you're not going to wear them the rest of the day. And what do? We are renewed in the spirit of our minds, and then what do? We are putting on the new self. We go take a shower, and then we put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Friends, when we put off the old self that is enslaved to sin, and we put on the new self, which is created in the likeness of God, we are actually, what are we doing? We're actually being like God. Not that we are all knowing and all powerful like Him, but that we are like Him in righteousness and holiness. And friends, we're not going to complain about it. Why? Because we love Him. We like that He is righteous and holy, and we want to be righteous and holy ourselves. A bunch of holy rollers over there at First Baptist Church of Westfield. Well, friends, that should not be I can't think of the word. And this is humbling right now. We were praying this morning. Lord, would you humble us? Would you humble us this morning? That should not discourage us that people say we want to be holy, but we should be encouraged by that. We put off our old self. We put on our new self. And in so doing, we become imitators of God. Let's be imitators of God, don't you think? Today, Paul gives us six things, six very practical ways that we can imitate God, we can be like our Heavenly Father. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go straight out of the book, and I'm just going to give you those six things. And if you take notes, I'll mention them as we get to them, and I'll tell you how we can imitate God, how we can put off our old self and put on our new self. So, to begin, we'll start with the first one. That is, an imitator stops lying and tells the truth. An imitator stops lying and tells the truth. Look at verse 25. He says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Okay, of the Ten Commandments. Okay, number 9 is this: you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Pretty simple, right? Pretty important not to lie. Okay? Don't lie. But an imitator of God doesn't just stop lying because it's the wrong thing to do. An imitator of God actually says, you know what? If I lie, that would be inconsistent with who I am as a member of a body that's bigger than me. Okay, we can't forget what we've already learned in Ephesians chapter 2, 3, and now 4. That we are all members one of another. That we're members of one big body. We're the body of Christ. That is who we are. And so I'm a big toe. I'm stinky. And you're an arm, or you're a hand, or you're an eye, or you're an ear. And it would be totally inconsistent for us to lie to each other, to bear false witness to one another and not tell the truth. It's just like my stomach this week was trying to tell me I am not a part of your body. It did not want to be a part of my body. I said, no, you are. And I was trying to do everything I could to keep my stomach as a part of my body. Sorry, that might be a little too graphic for you. But you see how that is. If one of us were to say, I'm not a part of the body, and therefore it's okay for me not to tell the truth or to tell a lie. That is not who you are in Christ. Friends, let's be imitators of the Father, because He doesn't lie to us. And He has made us one in Christ. We shouldn't be lying to each other. We should be telling the truth. And how should we do it? We should be telling the truth in love, right? Speak the truth in love, as we've already seen. Let's imitate the Father and let's tell the truth like He does. Here's the second thing that we should do. An imitator can be angry and not sin. An imitator can be angry and not sin. Look at verse 26. It says, Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Okay? Can you think of somebody who's a good example of this? Who can be angry and not sin? God. Thank you, Aaron. Jesus, that's right. And honestly, he's going to be the perfect example of this. Because none of us are really great examples of this, are we? We are all prone to anger. We're all prone to get angry over things and bring in to that anger, bring in our own sinfulness. Think of what Jesus did, okay? The Son of God, Jesus, here he is in the desert for 40 days being tempted, okay? Being tempted by the devil. And the devil says to him, you see all this land over here? I'll give it to you if you fall down and worship me. What does Jesus say? You shut up. You shut up, Satan. Because guess what? I worship the Father, and him alone do I serve. Because that's what the Word tells me to do. And I will fulfill the law, and I will be righteous, and I will be holy like him. And that's what Jesus does. He's angry in that moment, but yet he does not sin. Why? Because he is more zealous for the glory of his Father than he is zealous for his own glory. What else does he do? Where else do we see him angry? In the temple, right? And he sees some greedy men. And they're selling and they're exchanging money. But they're not doing it in a way to really help the people that are coming to the temple, okay? These people are needing to buy what? They need to buy sacrifices. They need to buy things that they can sacrifice as a way to worship to the Lord, their God. And yet these men are taking advantage of them. And the Lord Jesus comes in, and what does he do? What does he grab? A bullwhip. And what else does he do? He turns over the tables. And he says, do not make my Father's house a house of trade. He says, my Father's house is to be a house of prayer. It is to be a place of worship and prayer and communion with God. And you are hindering them by taking advantage of them. And so he gets angry. And he's right to do that. To be angry with these people who would pervert the worship of God. He is more zealous for the glory of his Father than he is zealous for his own glory, friends. And that's a true test for us in our anger. Can you be angry and not sin? If so, then what that means is you can be angry that the Lord is not being glorified properly. And it doesn't matter about your own glory. You want to know if the devil is driving your anger? Are you angry that you are not being glorified? Or are you angry that the Lord is not being glorified? How many nights do we go to bed and we just leave a little crack in the window? Leave a little opening for the devil to slip in and tempt us because we just went to bed angry. And maybe we went to bed angry with our spouse or angry at somebody at work or somebody even at church. Angry because we weren't getting our way. Angry because we were not being heard. Or angry because we were not the ones that were being glorified in the moment. Friends, what we do is we allow the devil, we give him an opportunity. Is come in and do what he does best, and that is kill, steal, and destroy. Let's close that window. Let's imitate Jesus, who always imitates the Father, doesn't he? Let's be imitators of God. Third thing is that an imitator stops stealing and starts giving. An imitator stops stealing and starts giving. That's the third thing. Look at verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Do you see the transformation in that? Do you see how that would be actually transformation as opposed to just, hey, stop doing this or and start, you know. Friends, let's just take this as an example. What if we had somebody that we knew had just come out of jail, came into our church, and they've been in jail for theft, which apparently, as I talked to detectives at the police department, actually, maybe I shouldn't say this, but you can steal things and almost not be punished for it, which is very sad. But to be put in jail for theft, you've got to steal something significant. Let's just imagine that somebody comes to our church, has just come out of jail. We know that he or she was a thief. Well, how do we help that person? How are we going to help that person? We should be thinking about this. How are we going to help the thief no longer be a thief? Are we just going to say, okay, stop doing that. That wasn't good. That doesn't motivate anybody. That doesn't motivate anybody. Hey, we know it's wrong. What motivates somebody? When they see a loving God who is generous, who doesn't steal, who doesn't take, but instead gives to his children. And we actually help this person, this man or woman who's been in jail, and we say, you know what? Let me show you how to work. I'm going to show you how to work. A full week's worth of work, and then give to those who are really in need and be generous to them. You guys think we could do that as a church? You think we could help somebody like that? Well, we should, right? Because we're not too far from that, are we? Maybe we didn't steal anything, but our hearts are just the same oftentimes. Friends, if we show somebody the generous Father who gives and gives and gives, not only does he give us his Son, Jesus Christ, but he also gives us food and clothing and shelter to live in, and he is generous with us. Friends, if we show somebody that, that is transformation. Let's be an imitator of the Father, and let's be generous. I asked some of the detectives this week, when is a thief no longer a thief? And I thought they were going to say, well, you know, a thief is always a thief, you know. I mean, that's what you expect from cops, right? You just expect them to say, hey, this person's a bad guy, and so he's always going to be a bad guy, right? I was actually really impressed by what they said. They said, well, you know, somebody's no longer a thief when they know in their heart that they've been forgiven. Thank you, Lord. And then the other guy I was talking to, he said, you know, I think maybe not even just that, maybe not even just being forgiven in the heart, but also when they start to do good instead of bad, instead of stealing, they're actually like doing community service type thing. I'm like, all right. I thought I was going to get some good illustration out of you guys, but you guys just answered it in the biblical way. And I took them to the passage, and like, yeah, we, you know, they're like, yeah, we answered according to the Bible. You know, it was just so awesome to hear them say that, friends. There's a transformation in the heart. God can do that, and he doesn't just make you stop doing bad, but he makes you start doing good and giving to those who are in need. What's the fourth thing? An imitator uses speech to build up, not tear down. Number four, an imitator uses speech to build up, not tear down. Look at verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Brothers and sisters, a Christian's use of his or her mouth ought to be radically different than the society that we live in. If I can just be honest here, well, I'm going to be honest. I like to go and I like to do work in places other than here. You know, if I were just here, I wouldn't get to meet a lot of people. So I go out, and sometimes I'll meet you for coffee or something like that, or for lunch or breakfast or whatever it is. And so I like to bring a laptop with me, and I can sit in a public place and do some work there, and I can meet the wait staff, I can meet the owners, the managers, and I can meet other people in the community, and I love doing that. One of the things, though, that's really difficult for me, though, is when I look at a passage like this and I say, we're not really living up to this. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. Why do I say that? Because so many times, I'll just be sitting there and I'll be, you know, working, and I will overhear a conversation about so-and-so or this person or that person. And it is not building anybody up. It is only tearing down. And I hate to say it, but a lot of times I'll hear conversations like that, and then I'll hear the word church. You want to perk my ears up? Say the word church in a public place. Say the word pastor, say the word Jesus, say something, and my ears will perk up. And guess what? Other Christians will hear that. Other non-Christians will hear that. And I think we are too loose with our tongues, and I will confess to you that this is an area I want to work on. I want to not be corrupting in my talk. I want to build others up. I want to speak to the occasion. I want to give grace to those who hear. And guess what? More people hear you than what you realize. And so when you're tearing somebody down in conversation, whether that's at a restaurant or wherever it may be, on the phone, and your kids are there, more people hear what you're saying than what you realize, and it is not giving grace to them, it is tearing them down as well. Friends, let's imitate our Father who actually thinks very highly of us. If we remember in chapter 1, verse 18, what does it say that he has? He has a glorious inheritance in the saints. That means you and I, who are believers, are saints. That means he has a glorious inheritance in us. He thinks very highly of us. And so let us imitate the Father, and let us be those who would speak the way he speaks about us. Let's build each other up. Let's build each other up. Number 5, an imitator wants to please the Holy Spirit, not grieve him. Look at verse 30. I'll say that again, sorry. An imitator wants to please the Holy Spirit, not grieve him. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The day of redemption is coming, friends, and the Holy Spirit is our seal. He is our guarantee. If we look at chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, we've already covered this, but this is important. In him, in Jesus, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Friends, when you came to belief in Jesus, he gave you his Spirit to dwell inside of you. That is his seal. That is his guarantee that this life is not your best life. That this life is not where it stops. That there is a life that is better, that is awaiting you. And so, friends, there is a guarantee we have inside of us. If you know you have the Holy Spirit, then you know that you will be with him in eternity. Friends, why would we want to grieve him by our sin? Why would we want to make him unhappy by our sin? More and more, as we know Jesus, as we try to imitate the Father, we do not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We do not want to keep our old self hanging in the closet on a hanger just for a rainy day, just for when we want to take it out and somehow find some pleasure in our old self. Now, we want to take that old self and we want to send it away and put on our new self. Here's the sixth thing, and the final one. An imitator is not bitter, but forgiving. An imitator is not bitter, but forgiving. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. I think this is probably one of the greatest markers of a Christian. I think this is probably one of the greatest signs that you know the Father. Is that you are not bitter, but you are able to forgive. That you are able to forgive those who have wronged you. Why? Because you know that you have also wronged someone, and that is God. And you also know that He has forgiven you. How has He forgiven you? How far has He removed your sin from you? As far as the east is from the west. The east will always be chasing the west. The west will always be chasing the east. And they will never catch up to each other. That's how far your sin has... That means your sin is gone. That means your sin is gone. And that means your Father in heaven has forgiven you of all your sins completely. And you know what that also means is that we can also forgive one another completely. And we do not have to be bitter anymore. This is one of the greatest markers of a Christian. I want to ask you, will you imitate the Father who has forgiven you? If indeed He has, and you've asked Him for forgiveness, will you imitate Him? And will you forgive others? It is a wonderful thing to be able to imitate God. When you imitate God, you are free from lies, you are free from anger, you are free from greed, you are free from pride, you are free from sin, you are free from bitterness, and you are free to love and forgive and to give and to be generous and to give grace. Your sin does not define you anymore. Jesus does. Jesus Christ defines you. Now the liar can now be the truth teller. The angry person can now be the peacemaker. The thief can now be the generous giver. The Debbie Downer can now be the Bob the Builder Upper. The bitter in soul can now be the tender hearted giver and forgiver. And all of this is only possible when we are imitators of our loving God and Father. How are you going to respond to this today? Maybe you have been stealing from others, and time is now to stop. Maybe you have stopped, but maybe you haven't started giving. Maybe you just stopped doing wrong, but you haven't replaced that with the new self. You haven't replaced that with something better, being generous like God the Father. Maybe you realize your speech has not been giving grace to those who hear, and you need to consciously take your mind each and every day and fight the battle, okay? Put on that spiritual armor. We're going to get to that. And put that on and day in, day out, and go to war with the devil who wants you to be bitter. And say, I'm not going to tear somebody else down. I'm going to be gracious and loving. And I'm going to give them grace. I'm going to build somebody up. I'm going to see how I can build somebody up today instead of tear them down. Maybe you need to let go of bitterness and you need to start forgiving. Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Maybe today you need to trust Jesus for the first time. Have Him forgive you. Say, Lord, I want Your grace. I want Your love. I want You to forgive me for my sin and save me from the wrath to come. And if you do, this is going to be true of you. This is going to be true of you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 says, In love, He predestined us for what? Adoption as sons. Adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace. When you trust in Jesus, you are no longer a child of the world, you are a child of God. You are now one of His sons who has full rights to His kingdom. You are an heir of His kingdom. And every spiritual blessing that you could ever get through Jesus Christ is now yours. Would you come to Him today? Trust Him for the first time? Brothers and sisters, and I say that, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's imitate our Father. Let's imitate our Father, who is so good to us. Why do my boys want to imitate me? I hope it's because they know that I love them. Because I do. I love them to death. And just this week, I thought, I'd die for every single one of those in my family. I want to give my life up for them. I think that may be why they want to imitate me. I'm not saying that's because I'm great. You know the same for your children as you love them. And they want to imitate you. God loves you. And He proved that by sending His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross in your place. Let's be imitators of Him. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to follow in Your footsteps as You imitated Your Father. We want to be like Him in righteousness and holiness. We want to be like this God who loved us so much that He would send You to be the perfect sacrifice in our place. Lord, I pray that this word that You've opened up to us today and the wounds that it has exposed, the sin that it has exposed in our lives, Lord, I pray that it would start to do surgery on us. That it would start to transform us. And that we would desire to be imitators of God because of it. Father God, we love You. And I say that on behalf of all my brothers and sisters here. And I pray for those who are not yet a brother or a sister. I pray for their hearts, Lord, that they would be drawn to You. They would see this loving God, a Father. They would desire to be Your child. Lord, I pray You would draw them and join the family. Father God, we just thank You for today. We love You. And we pray this in Your holy name. Amen.